Go.
Okay, so I've got a. I have to legally tell you I'm recording this call.
Are we started yet?
Rag Dog Radio! Coming to you live on MP3 from several locations around the Pacific Northwest. My name is Les Rowe, and with me as always is the Guru.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
And you know how this goes? We're here to talk a little trash on a week worth of sports. I don't know anybody except the Guru, and the Guru knows all.
I know just a little something, something, man. Just a little something, man.
Guru, it is an abbreviated episode number 54, but you know we had to say something. So, of course, we're going to talk about the big McGregor-Khabib fight, the brawl after, and what it means for McGregor and the UFC going forward. Then, week 5 in the NFL brought us another Chiefs win, another Rams win, and Baker Mayfield's first official win. Plus, are we sleeping on the Panthers? What team should be hitting the panic button, and which coach's seats are starting to get hot? Then, coming up in segment 2, you know we're still going to get our Best with Ben segment in because we got to talk to Ben Carey from thecurrencykings.com so we can all get that bag. Guru, it's a short one, but it's episode number 54.
Let's roll!
All right, man, it is good to talk to you. Let's get a few things out of the way here. Tell the people what's going on. We are having a bit of a short episode this week, and it's going to sound a little bit different because I am away, actually, on a real-world business trip. I am coming to you from Portland, Oregon. Greetings from the Beaver State there, Guru. So don't you worry. I'm going to a Blazers game this week, preseason Blazers. I'll be able to tell you about that next week. I'm going to see DeAndre Ayton and the Sun come into town tomorrow night. But we had to weigh in this week. So let me before we get going, man, how are you doing? How are things?
Man, I am living the dream, man. Don't you pinch me, man. Living the dream, Mr. Lestro.
I like to hear. Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah, man. Obviously, it's week 5. You got to love it, man. It's the fifth week of the 18th week of Christmas for the Guru, man. So everything is going straight. But there was a little bit of interruption, man. There was some violence that was going on, man. Some violence, Lestro.
What? I saw that, man. Now, you know, I am not a big UFC fan there, Guru. I knew this fight was coming. I had heard some of the hype coming into it. This, of course, is the big McGregor-Khabib fight. I'm going to try this name. Nurmagomedov? I think it's Nurmagomedov. Let's go with that. We'll just call him Khabib. What do you say?
I'll take with the Khabib, man. I like that.
All right, so they had the big fight this week, McGregor-Khabib. There's been a lot of jawing back and forth with this. Khabib wins it in the fourth round or something like that, and then all hell breaks loose after McGregor taps out on this one. Khabib goes flying out of the octagon, starts punching a dude in the stands. A couple of guys run in and punch McGregor in the back of the head in the stands. It's a complete clusterfuck in Vegas. Dana White is there afterwards shrugging, and Did you see this happen, Guru?
Man, what a masterful performance by the UFC. Man, bravo, Dana White. I'm just, my hat's off because you're taking this straight to the bank. Man, you know how much more, it's going to double the round two. The sequel is going to be way, way more banking than the original, man. Do you believe? Do you see how? I mean, this is a page out of Jim McMahon, man. He took up Jim McMahon. He's a step higher than Jim McMahon, restaurant. Like, this is all Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
I mean, my football mode. I mean, my football mode. Vince McMahon, man.
Well, see, that's what I thought when I saw this, too. This was inevitable, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not a big UFC fan. To me, I'd rather watch the boxing. I like the most. I used to watch it in the 90s when it was like, this guy does judo, this guy does karate. Let's see what happens. But it doesn't do it for me right now, and I think most of this fight going through until the brawl at the end is why. But they're kind of building themselves up to be the WWE in real life, and this was inevitable to me that this eventually this was going to happen. It was going to spill over. And a guy like McGregor, who does nothing but raise bait and light folks up, it seems like it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, if you ask me.
Be humble. Hey, so basically, what the situation was, obviously, that you saw the pre-fight hype and the hatred and the malice. So Khabib went after some of McGregor guys in the stands, and then some of the Khabib guys came and attacked McGregor in the cage. So it was all kind of remind me of the malice in the palace. You remember the NBA version?
It did get a little bit Ron Artest up in Vegas this weekend, man.
You know, Steven Jackson, Ron Artest, I mean, Bros is going, I'm like, oh, man, we are back in the palace of Auburn Hills, man.
Now, to be fair, it's not like, you know, it's not like Khabib jumped out of there and punched some random fan or anything. He went after, like, McGregor's sparring
McGregor's
partner.
Guys, yeah.
He's an actual guy. And I got to say, McGregor, all credit to McGregor here for after the fight being like, no, don't press charges, and just being like, good knock, we'll get him next time, let's have a rematch. I like that, and I think the rematch could do well, but do you think this is going to help UFC going forward? Is this the kind of thing that they want?
Absolutely. Did you see the star-studded people that was at that Vegas? I mean, it was, if you are anybody on this planet, you will be at that fight. And the sequel, oh, mercy. I mean, it is going to be unreal because everyone's going to, even all the casual fans, you're going to be interested. You're going to be more aware about the sequel than you did about the original.
That's how
big it is. You know,
I'm going to know it's coming.
It matters. Exactly. And if you're going to know, so is everybody else in the universe. So, yes, I see this is going to be one of the most watched events we'll see on planet Earth. That's how big it's going to be.
So now the other question here that we have to ask going forward is actually about Conor McGregor, Guru, because he kind of got beat down in this fight from everything I'm reading. In the four rounds, he won one of the rounds, and basically, from what I can tell from the highlights I've seen in the reading I've done, he got it handed to him on this one. Is McGregor done? I mean, he's obviously going to try and get a rematch out of this, but dude's got so much money from that Mayweather heist. If you're him, are you fighting still?
Khabib is just hungry. Khabib is also undefeated. Khabib is, he's a real fighter. So he wasn't going against no slouch now. He was going against the beast of the beast himself. So and that's the beautiful thing about it. That's why we're going to see the sequel. So if UFC is really about this money, about this, like, best for best, I will see a third. I will see McGregor winning. So let's see a freaking, what's it called? What's the third version called, man? Is that fancy
the
word
prequel?
For the trilogy?
Yeah, the trilogy.
I think it's trilogy.
If they're smart, they're going to do this like Freddy versus Jason. There's going to be like Khabib McGregor.
Nah, man, look. Hey, do the trilogy, and I guarantee you, man, that's just the way you do it, UFC. I'm telling you, he's taking a page out of Vince McMahon. Kudos, Dana White, because he's sitting back just winning. When thanking those guys, like, because he's laughing straight to the bank with it, man. Straight to the UFC mega bank in the offshores, man.
Definitely offshores with this crew. All right, so let's move on from here. Then let's get on to Christmas and talk about week 5 in the NFL. What do you say?
Let's do it, man. Yes sir. Yes sir. Yes sir. Yes sir. Yes sir.
So now, Guru, I know the big game that you were watching going into this weekend, one of the big ones that you were keeping your eye on was the big Jaguars-Chiefs game. And you were saying before we got on the air that you saw a little something in Patrick Mahomes in this game either. You think this kid's the real deal. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Chief Mahomes doing it again. But most importantly, like I mentioned this, it was a bad matchup for the Jags. Andy Reid's offense is predicated predicated on patience and taking what the defense gives you and just putting you in a disadvantage schematically. So with the Jaguars just being a cover 3 basic man team, it was kind of easy in a sense for Andy Reid to exploit that type of defense. So going into it, I never thought it was a good matchup. I thought the Chiefs was going to create an extreme great matchup situation that would put this the defense in a strenuous position, which they did, and they just blew them out the roof. I mean, blew them out of Kansas City.
Now, Mahomes didn't actually have that great a day. He had 313 yards, big number, no touchdowns, two interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 62.7. It was not his best game as a pro, but they still won pretty handily, Guru, except against a defense that was supposed to be way better than this. What happened with Jacksonville?
Oh, no, nothing happened. It's just Andy Reid and the scheme. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. Jacksonville is still a great defense. They just went against an offense that would always give them a problem because it's just a schematic type of situation. When they play against a cover three, every cover three team Andy Reid plays against, they give Andy Reid just gives them fits. They do that against the Seahawks, against the Falcons. You do that against the 49ers. Every team that plays that coverage is just don't fit right with his type of play calling.
So then the other question here is Bortles over there. Now, Bortles had a pretty bad first half. He turned it around a little bit in the second half. He ended up actually with 430 yards and a touchdown, but he had four interceptions and a pick six. Are we going to see these two teams battle again in the playoffs, and what can each of them learn from it, I guess, is the question, or is it just going to be the same thing over again?
Easy. The Jags would have wished they would have gone into Washington, D.C. last year with a blank check. That's what they should have wished on, because that guy right there, if he was out here instead of Minnesota, he would have taken them to the Super Bowl. But Blake Bortles is not the guy. Sorry. And he won't be the guy. They made the wrong decision by giving him that extension. But I see why they did it, but he's not the guy.
Yeah, they tried to Flacco it. They tried to, you know, get a guy that can go through it and bank on the defense. And they're running into an offensive era, you know. It's just
absolutely
one of those.
Absolutely.
Hey, so speaking of an offensive era, it wasn't a particularly pretty offense, but the new era has begun. There's a new sheriff in town in Cleveland. In fact, there's a new Baker in town in Cleveland. And Baker Mayfield picked up his first official win as a Cleveland Brown. It wasn't pretty, Guru, but he got it done, man. They said that this guy coming out of college, all he does is know how to win. What do you think? Are you starting to come around to Baker, or what's the deal?
The Baker, man, the Baker, the legend of the Baker. Oh, man, I see. That was actually a good game. Look, the Guru's not a hater, okay? I don't hate. I give credit when credit deserves, okay? The Baker looked good. You know, he was very gritty. It was nothing spectacular, but he was very gritty, and he did the thing he had to do to win the game. I saw that game. Just like you talk about the Chief Mahomes a little bit, I saw the game. When you watch the game, you can see it's different than when you see the stats, you know. I saw the Baker's game, so I saw what he did. I saw the grit. I saw the emotions. I saw the passion. I saw some leadership. So I was quite impressed with what he did to lead the team to this victory. Yes, I was impressed.
Yeah, I didn't think this was a particularly good game. I thought this was I thought this one was going to end in a tie. They barely got that kick across, as time ran out. I thought this was going to be another tie for the Browns. But as far as Baker Mayfield, what I saw was that the team looks like they believe in him. You know, like, it looks to me like the Browns as a squad kind of think Baker might be the guy, and he had a decent performance. Nothing spectacular out there, obviously. Nothing we're going to write home about and put him into Canton already. But I thought he had a pretty good day. He went 342 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Not bad. Did what he had to do. Are you, Guru? You didn't have him even in your top 10 on the draft this year. He went number one. Are you coming around yet, or are you still waiting to see mode on Baker?
Oh, no. I got to wait and see, man, because like I said, he pulled this one out, and this is some of the things the Browns have never done, games like this. So I would give him all the credit. I would absolutely give him all the credit. But I want to see a little bit more, obviously, to collect a little bit more data. But this one, it definitely got my eyes opening up a little differently now. But like I said, you know, my biggest thing I always mention, I'm waiting till November, December. That's when it really matters.
Especially in that division.
Exactly. So he has about one more week or two more weeks of this type of situation or whatever, but I want to see when those time happens. That's when I'm going to say, hey, is this guy a first of all pick, or is this guy should have been, you know, a mid-level, like a Teddy Bridgewater type guy that was picking a mid-level draft?
Yo, that's me. All right, well, I guess we'll wait and see what's going to happen then on Baker. We're getting into October. November's coming quick. It's going to get real cold in Cleveland, and if they don't keep winning, it's going to get even colder for Baker Mayfield. So we'll see what happens there. But I also want to switch divisions here because we've talked about rivalries. We just watched I don't know if you watched. I just watched the Red Sox bump off the Yankees in the division series here, one of the greatest rivalries in sports. When we talk about rivalries, you've said before the greatest rivalry in sports is the NFC East because all of those teams hate each other and they're all each other's rival. This year, Guru, the NFC East looks not good. What is going on up there?
Typical NFC East, man. They go through this transition. And I think it's just right now, bad coaching. It's a bad coaching in that division. Bad coaching. Jay Gruden he's average at best. Average in his best day.
And they're leading the division at 2-2.
What average, right? What is that? Isn't that an average record?
Yeah, 500, 2-2. They're leading that division right now.
And that's at best. So we know what's going to happen. The Giants, Eli, Dr. Guru mentioned, they should have picked a quarterback, man. They're going to regret that decision. They should have picked the quarterback. So, the Eli era is over. It's just what it is. They just got to accept that fact. So the division, and right now, obviously, Carson coming back from his injury and the Super Bowl, what did I say? The Super Bowl thing that gets you after the Super Bowl. So
the Super Bowl hangover is real for the Eagles.
The Super Bowl
year,
hangover. Exactly. So it's kind of, and that's what makes the division look bad. But you all know, when it comes down to that December, that November-December football, that's when the NFC East is still a dogfight now. Whoever come out of that division is still going to be a big-time contender.
So then, you know, we're going to talk about this in a second. We're going to come back to the NFC East, I think, because we're going to talk about teams that are hitting the panic button here, and I think I got to ask you if the Eagles need to hit the panic button. But before we come back to that question, I want to ask you about one more team. I want to ask you, we saw that you mentioned the Giants. They lost this week on a huge field goal to the Panthers, to Cam Newton and the Panthers, who are now 3-1 in the NFC South. Guru, are we all sleeping on the Panthers, or is this a team that we should be worried about?
Oh yeah, man. You know the Guru always got his long one eye looking at that Carolina, man. You know Guru got his Carolina roots, man. It's Kakalaki roots, man. My Pirates, baby. So, you know, I always got a little eye over there in Carolina, and the Panthers are looking good, man.
3-1 right now.
Cam might be the most dominant player. Cam is like the LeBron James or like the Shaq. You know, he's just a one-man dominant. When he's on, have mercy. There's nobody else in the league. He's unstoppable. Unstoppable. So, I'm watching them because defensively, you know they have Luke. With Luke on that team, he's already one of the best defensive players in the league. So they have a defensive lead, and they have a leadership with him on the defensive side. And obviously, Cam's going to be Cam on the offensive side. So I am keeping a close eye on the Panthers, keeping a very close eye on the Panthers.
Now, do you think they'll sneak past the Saints there to win the division, or are they going to be a kind of team that comes into the wild card and works their way through?
That's going to be an interesting game. That's why we're keeping an eye on it. I can see them. Well, obviously, that's a division game. The win of that division could basically is coming down to the Panthers and the Saints.
Right down there. I mean, obviously, we're not here to talk about the Buccaneers and the Falcons. All right, let's talk about the Falcons for a second because I said we're not here to talk about the Falcons. We're not here to talk about them winning. So. It's week 5, Guru. What teams need to start hitting the panic button? And what fan bases need to start hitting the panic button? I'm going to start right off with those Falcons. 1-4, not looking good. I think it's over in Atlanta for the year. Am I wrong on this one?
It's over. They're banking it in. It's over for the Falcons. So take it down. The Falcons are roasted. The birds are done. They're flying down south for the summer.
All right. From one bird to another, I'm an Eagles fan. Should I panic? I mean, they're 2-3 right now. Obviously, they're in the NFC least at the moment, being led by the Redskins. But 2-3 is not where we wanted to be after week 5. I know Wentz is coming back. Should the Eagles hit the panic button?
No panic. The Eagles are going to chillax. No panic necessary because Jay Gruden, Jason Garrett, who's the other coach? This young.
Yeah, the new kid up in
Shurmur.
Up in New York.
In New York. So I think that alone, because all those guys are at best 8-8 at best, and Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz are at worst a 8-18 at worst. So I can see them obviously winning the division with ease.
One more NFC one before we move on. Then should the Minnesota Vikings be hitting the panic button? They are 2-1.
Absolutely not. They're exactly what they're on the uprise. You know, they got a peak later on. You know, you don't want to peak in the first half of the season. So I think they're in a perfect situation. You watching the game now? They defeated your birds on the road. The defense looked like they're back. So. They took a couple of bumps. Mike Zimmer is a hell of a coach, so I see them turning this thing around. And Kirk Cousins right now, he's like him and Jared Goff are killing it as far as passing yards and touchdowns. So them boys, man, it's going to be a good season. I see them hitting the strides perfectly.
Are you telling me Mitch Trubisky and the Bears can't hang on to the top of this NFC North Division, Guru? But Mitch Trubisky, Guru?
Hey, I'm telling you, it's Nagy. You know, you can say Mitch Nagy's a heck of a play caller, man. I'm gonna give him his credit. You know, the guru is always seeing things before those guys see. He's watch out for that guy. Mitch is not the guy, but Nagy is the guy. He's gonna hide some of Mitch's deficiencies, but he's gonna But nah, they're not gonna win.
All right, one AFC real quick before we gotta go. What about the Steelers? 2-1, bottom of the AFC North. Again, that's a division being led by the Bengals at the moment. They got Baker Mayfield and Joe Flacco ahead of them. Should the Steelers hit the panic button?
No, just because everybody else in the AFC, the entire AFC division is not very good. So I can see three teams coming from that division.
Really?
Yes.
Because
there's only one team that's going to make it in the AFC East. There's only one team that's probably going to make it in the AFC South, you know.
Probably two from the West.
Exactly. It's going to be a good battle. So I think they shouldn't press the panic button yet.
All right. So then the next question, Guru, and this would probably be a two-minute drill question in a normal show. What coaches are on the hot seat here? Who do you think is the first coach to be fired this year? Because I think it's got to be coming soon, right?
I hate to say, man, and it's not even his fault. I blame this on John Elway. This is all the John Elway's wrong decisions. He's been missing on his few draft picks. So John Elway
certainly missed on Case Keenum.
You know, hey, terrible. Yeah, I didn't even want to get on that yet. Missed on Case Keenum. We all know John Elway should have gone to D.C., with a blank check. How many times did I mention this last year? How many times? He should have been right there. Here you go, Kurt. I'll see you in Denver. That's all you had to do. And this man would have been there. But he didn't do that. He used his arrogance, and now Vance Joseph is going to be the one that's going to get the axe because of John Elway. He gave the guy nothing to work with. Absolutely nothing.
So is he going to get it before Jason Garrett, though? Because the expectations were much higher in Dallas than they're performing at this level right now. Is Garrett going to get the axe in Dallas?
No. Jason Garrett, that's no. He's not going to get the axe because that's Jerry's boy.
Jerry likes it. That's Jerry's world down there.
Jerry's boy.
You're on the right side of Jerry, you get to keep your job.
Absolutely. It's Jerry's boy. It's Jerry's boy. And we know he's mediocre. He's actually below mediocre coach. He's elementary as far as play calling his scheme. But at the end of the day, he's Jerry's boy because Jerry controlled that team. Everyone knows that. We all know that.
All right. What about Dirk Cutter in Tampa Bay? Could he go before Joseph, or is it really Vance is the one?
Vance is a lame dog. There's no way. There's no way I can see him bringing Vance back because John Edwin needed a scapegoat. Instead of blaming it on himself, he needed to blame it on somebody else. That's how it goes, and they're going to make drastic changes. And unfortunately, it's going to be Vance is going to be one of the reasons. I mean, it's going to be one of the casualties.
All right, you heard it here first. Vance Joseph, first coach to be fired this year. You know what, Guru? This is a good place to take a break. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll have our Bets with Ben segment. It should be real quick to get out of here. We'll ask actually Ben what he thinks. So he's betting on Vance Joseph to be the first one to go out there for his Denver Broncos. What do you think of that?
That's true. That's true.
Right.
You do gotta ask for it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Trash Talk Radio.
We are.
Trash Talk Radio. Back again. Segment 2. Guru, you know what that means? Even if it's a short show, we still gotta do the plug. Let's make them short.
Yeah. You already know it, dude. That plug time.
Trash Talk Radio, TrashTalkRadio.com, brought to you by the World of Sports Network.com. World of Sports Network, connecting the world to the sports you love. Head on over to the World of Sports Network page. You can get all your Trash Talk Radio news. We got tons of other great shows. You can find Guru's Film Room there. You can find the on-court, off-court guys. I know they got a lot to say as the basketball season ramps up, and I'm sure we'll be talking basketball probably next week or the week before. So head on over there and check that out. Make sure you go to the World of Sports Network YouTube page to watch all our offerings there, including the two of us. Maybe not this week, but catch up on the old shows. Make sure you watch the videos there, too. One more time for the people in the cheap seats, TrashTalkRadio.com. And Guru, tell them that hashtag.
Hashtag 10K for TTR.
All right, so let's move right on ahead with this and go to our Bets with Ben segment. Ben Carey from thecurrencykings.com. We'll get him on the line and we'll go from there. Trash Talk Radio.
TTR.
All right, back again on Trash Talk Radio with our Bets with Ben segment featuring Ben Carey of thecurrencykings.com. Head on over to thecurrencykings.com. Ben's making picks for you every day. He's got write-ups, college football, and NFL, and you can bet right there on the site thanks to Bovada. Get it all done, thecurrencykings.com. Ben, I know it's a short week on our show this week. As we said, I'm on the road, but we had to check in with you because you had another pretty good week for us. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, definitely had another profitable week. That makes it three straight for us. And, you know, I know we have a short week, but, you know, I'm here always grinding. So I got the picks for you this week. And just real quick to recap, we went 4-3, and then we had a push. So it was, you know, like I mentioned in earlier shows in the past, as long as we're going one game above 500, we're winning money. If you were to bet $100 on each one of these games, you would have won $64. So as long as we're
like
in the green,
that.
We're winning money, man.
Hey, speaking
like
of the green.
That, baby. I like that.
Speaking of the green, Ben, because we got to talk about this, too. The big one last week that we picked was that Notre Dame Hokies. And don't you worry about it, Mr. Carey. We are going to get the Guru in that Shamrock for you the first chance we get back
man.
For you.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, man. So
oh, man. I can't believe y'all remember that, huh?
We wrote it down, brother. It's on audio. We got a video. We'll see you in a Shamrock next week, my man. So Ben, let's talk week ahead. Let's start with Saturday like we always do. Talk to me about this week in college football. Where are you putting your money?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just doing a little research so far this week, I found an interesting stat that I wanted to share with everyone. Now, this is actually from Kyle Hunter Sports. So I wanted to give him the credit on this, but so bear with me on this one. It's loaded, but it's really good information. In weeks 6 through 8, so teams playing each other in weeks 6 through 8 in college football, the under is 68-29, so that's 70%, which is, you know,
pretty good.
pretty high stat there. So 70% in games when the over-under is 54 or higher, and the home team is an underdog by 8 or more points. So there's a few reasons why, you know, 70%, and this could be because home teams are playing, you know, against familiar conference foes, so they, you know, they know each other, and of course that home underdog, you know, really wants to show out knowing that, you know, they are at home, but they are the underdog. So there's
nobody wants to get shown up at home.
Absolutely. So there's three games that fit this criteria. We have Houston, Eastern Carolina, Purdue, Illinois. So I like those both as well, but the one we're going to dive into first that is going to be an official play this week is Troy Liberty, and the over-under is at 67, so we're going with that under. So Liberty is plus 9.5 at home, so they fit that criteria, as I mentioned, but we're going with the under. And on top of what I just mentioned, the under is 8-3 in the Liberty Flames' last 11 games as an underdog, and for Troy, it's 7-3-1 as a road favorite. So there's a lot. The stars are aligning, guys. So this is one where I had a big circle around it. We have Troy Liberty under 67. So that's one I really like coming up this Saturday.
Hey, I love it for two reasons and one reason I don't. Because the guru is a East Carolina Pirates alumni. So I would try to hear what you got to say about that. But you know, Liberty is our other boy, Denton Davis. He's a boy, Denton. He's from Liberty, so I like that as well. So
all right.
I think I might go with you on this one. I won't battle against Ben. I will go with Ben.
I got the smart bet.
We learned last week, Guru.
Rub it in. He did a lot of math on that one. I had a little trouble following the math, but I know where to put my money. My money is on the under in the Troy Liberty game. Give us another one.
Yeah, long story short, go with Liberty. So,
give us another one.
The next game we're going to dive into, we have the Dukies, and I know Guru loves to hear bets with the Dukies, right?
Yeah, right. You know, Ben, we're betting on football, right?
Yes, and I'm excited for college basketball. You guys are in store for that too.
What is your affiliation with Duke? Because you know, I'm a Dukie. I'm a Duke fan. Everybody wants to know. I like the Dukies. Well,
I just want to know that I'm going to clip. I like the Dukie. That is going to be.
Hey Guru, you want to know my affiliation? Duke wins me money, man. So I'm going to stick with them. If they keep treating me well, I'm going to keep betting on them. So we're going with the under of 54 in Duke versus Georgia Tech, and Duke is a plus 3. So they're the underdog in this one. So we're going with Duke as well, plus 3 and the under. So Duke's actually covered against Georgia Tech in the last 4 games playing in this matchup. And they've also had extra rest to prepare for this one. They had a bye last week. So this is super important playing a Georgia Tech offense, which is, you know, one of the few teams that still runs that option attack, which can really, you know, drain the team. So it's important that Duke's coming into this one very fresh. They also have the better head coach with Cutcliffe over Johnson of Georgia Tech. So Duke plus 3, really liking that. And I expect the Dukies to slow down that running attack of Georgia Tech. So that's why we're also playing the under of 54. So two bets there.
See, Guru, there it is. If you want to win the green, bet on the blue and white. You know what I mean? So we're taking
As long as it's a blue ball, I'll take that.
Take the under in the Duke Georgia Tech game, and you said also bet on Duke. You like Duke on this one as well.
I do. I like Duke. Going with Duke, nice. The Dukies.
All right. So then let's give us a premier game this week. We got a big matchup this week between number 2 Georgia and number 10 LSU. I know you got action on this one, Ben.
Oh man, this is going to be a fun one. Conference SEC action, two teams in the top 10 playing each other. We got Georgia number 2 undefeated playing LSU number 10. LSU is the home team in this one, and they're also 7.5 point underdogs. So very interesting, but Georgia is solid. They've looked good all year. LSU's looked good as well. This is going to be a tight one, a very physical game, and we're going with LSU, the Tigers at home. Super excited to watch this one. Also, the Tigers are 8-1 against the spread in their last 9 conference games, so they know how to cover in conference. Like I mentioned, LSU at home, going to be an awesome environment for the Tigers, and I could honestly see the Tigers winning this one. So if you're feeling lucky, maybe even put LSU money line in this one, but to be safe, we're going with the points, LSU plus 7.5.
Oh, yeah. It's the SEC. It's the SEC downright battle, man. It's hard to win on the road in the SEC. So I totally, once again, man, I think it took me 5 weeks last year, but I'm feeling better now, man.
I know, right?
I'm a little bit, man.
I think you learned your lesson with that Notre Dame Hokies game. Now, I know you take the Hokies every time because Mo Guru's over there, but I tell you what, nice to see you coming around there, Guru.
Blinded love, man. Blinded faith. You know how that gotta be, man. Blinded loyalty.
One other thing, I think we are 3-0 in our last 3 premier games as well. So,
there you have it. Put your money on LSU at home over number 2 Georgia. So let's move to Sunday then, and talk a little bit about the big boys. Guru and I, we love talking NFL. Let's hear who you're betting on Sunday.
Yes, so Sunday, got a few I really like here. I might even throw out a lock for Sunday. We'll see.
The first one
we're gonna go with is, and this could be the premier game for the NFL week as well. We got Pats -3 against the undefeated Chiefs.
So we're gonna get right into it. Then I love this. What are we doing on Sunday?
We're betting on the big ones.
That's right. We're going all the way in. Jump in. Talk to us about this game.
So this is a matchup against with the young gun and the seasoned vet with Mahomes as the young gunner, and you got Tom Brady with the rings as the vet. So this is overall just going to be a fun matchup. Looking forward to watching this one. Chiefs are on the road in Gillette, so automatically I'm siding with the Patriots -3 just because of that. They're also 10-3-1 in their last 14 against the spread when playing a game after playing Thursday night the week before. So they've had some time to prepare. They got to watch Mahomes and the Chiefs against the Jaguars. Bill Belichick, if you give him a few extra days to game plan, he's going to take full advantage of that. And that's one of the main reasons why we're going with the Pats -3 at home.
So we're taking the Pats to give Pat Mahomes his first loss of the season, is what you're saying.
First L of the season, yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this one, Guru? Pats have been putting it together for the past couple of weeks, starting to look like the Patriots again. Mahomes got to lose eventually.
Hey, it's almost, 20 years now, you see Brady don't lose at home. So, I'm not a fool. I'm not going to keep, I'm going with Brady at home.
You got to
go with Brady at home. All right, give us another one here, Ben. Take the Pats -3 at home against the Chiefs. Who else we got?
Next one, we got the Raiders Seahawks. Now, not the most attractive game on the slate here.
No,
this one's actually in
not.
London.
This
one's in London, so.
This used to be a rivalry back in the day.
Yeah, it used to be a rivalry, and you guys won't even have to worry about watching this one, because by the time you wake up, I think the game will be over. I think it starts like 6:30 Pacific time, a.m., so this even be over before you guys even wake up over
there. To be fair, Ben, most of these Seahawks games have been over by the time we get up this year anyway. Oh!
Fair enough. Guru, I didn't hear Guru's response on that one.
Well, who are you going
with? We're going with the under in this one.
Because it's going to be an ugly game.
Yeah.
That's why we're going with the under of 48.5, man. I don't see these teams scoring. There's supposed to be 15-mile-per-hour winds. There's rain expected. I really see the Raiders looking to run the bar with Marshawn Lynch. Russell's going to keep the ball on the ground for the most part, and he's going to be safe with the rock. So I like that clock to tick. And, we're going with the under in this one.
I think it's a good call. I think we got a matchup we got a matchup between two coaches who aren't smart enough to hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1 yard line. This is not gonna be a high scoring game.
Great point.
All right, give us another one then.
Yes, the next one is Broncos Rams. Now, I'm not picking a side with the team on this one because I actually think it's going to be close.
Hey,
guys, I will say I actually will be in attendance at this game, and I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm a little disappointed because we're supposed to get some snow. It's supposed to be 25 degrees around kickoff.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a cold game. And
yeah,
that,
I heard this
could
be the first snow game of the year.
Yes, but that sets up perfectly for an under. I like the L.A. team coming into Denver with the snow, and they're going to struggle a little bit on offense, but at the same time, the Broncos' offenses look pretty atrocious as well. So,
what? You not going to believe in the case? No, I don't believe in the case, Steven. What, you know, John, you're going to make Van Joseph a scapegoat?
That's right. We were talking about this before you got on the air here, Ben, is Guru's got Van Joseph as his first coach to be fired this year. What do you think of that, Ben?
I'm happy. I hope you're right, Guru.
That's the prop Ben will take.
And I tell you what, Case has been making me drink cases of Bud Light, so that's some of that up, man. It's been rocky, to say the least, the start the season off, but, you know, hopefully we can pull out a win. But as far as this one goes, the under is 8-3 against the spread in the last 11 games in October, and the Broncos are also 5-1 with the under in the last 6 as an underdog against the spread. So with the weather, with Case Keenum, with those stats I just threw out, it's looking like an under 53 in this one.
So take the under in Denver, where the high-powered Rams should run into some snow and some altitude to keep that game at the under. All right, so Ben, give us one more before we let you go for the week. One more NFL game. What do you got?
Yes, the last one. This is actually going to be my lock of Sunday, of the day on Sunday. So it's going to be Green Bay, -9 at home against the 49ers. Now, I know the Packers have looked a little rough the last few games, but this is the something's got to give bet of the week as well. Aaron Rodgers is going to come out on fire. I see him having a 350-yard passing game. Discount double check is going to be in full effect. He's going to tell everyone to relax, and he's going to remind people why he's Aaron Rodgers. So I'm seeing a big game out of the Packers, you know, 35-20, maybe even 35-17. I see Packers covering this one easily. How do you feel about that pick, guys?
I would agree with you on this one, Ben.
Yeah, looking good this week, Ben.
Yeah. Right, and one other thing I want to mention real quick is 49ers are 1-4, Packers are 2-2. So this is almost a must win for the Packers to stay in contention for that NFC North title. And real quick, Packers are 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 home games against a team with a losing record, and they're 19-9-1 in their last 29 against the spread in October. So we're going with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers at -9.
I think it's a good pick. I think the 49ers are playing out the string at this point. I think when Jimmy G went down, they kind of just this okay, another year. Because
yep,
let's be honest,
absolutely,
Beathard's not the guy to get them over this hump. So let's I think it's a good pick.
Yep.
All right, so let's
so there you have it.
Ben Terry from thecurrencykings.com is telling you on Saturday you should take the under in the Troy Liberty game. You should take the under and Duke in the Duke Georgia Tech game. And he's picking LSU over Georgia in the big premier game of the week. LSU at home over Georgia, so take the Tigers there. Turning our attention to Sunday, he says, bet on Tom Brady and the Patriots to give Patrick Mahomes his first loss of the year over there. Take the under in the Oakland and Seattle game in London. Take the under in the what could be a snowball with the Rams and Denver, and put your money on Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers to beat the 49ers by at least 9 in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Do I got that right?
And real quick, if Mason Crosby can make a field goal, I think we'll be all right covering in this one. So
the really big if, Mason Crosby makes the field goal.
Yes.
Hey. Like I said, our division is all about my favorite cousin. You think we're going to go the whole show without me talking about my favorite cousin?
Of course not.
You like that?
And since we got the Kirk Cousins reference in, that's the time we have on the show this week. Our thanks to Ben Carey from thecurrencykings.com for joining us and giving his picks one more time here. Make sure you head over to thecurrencykings.com. Do your betting on the site. Check out his college football and NFL picks. Check out his free write-ups every day. Our thanks to Ben Carey. Make sure you head over to worldofsportsnetwork.com's YouTube page. Our thanks to Evliana Productions for making us look good on all this. Until next time. I didn't plug, Guru, where you can find me on Twitter at Morelestro and you on Instagram at Guru's Film Room, all out of sorts this week. That Portland vibe, man. Until next time, I'm Lestro.
And it's the G to the U to the R to the U.
Thanks for listening.
GTR.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about.